dating a girl like opening a bottle of olives.
The first is hard to get, but the rest come easy.
Correct. Pay that man $8. What is an organ recital?
A bunch of women talking about their operations.
Correct. Pay that man $9 because...
it pays to be ignorant.
Thank you, Johnny, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it's here again, that quiz program, which is the last word. But we're not permitted to mention the word. We have a board of experts who are so dumb they think the president's cabinet is a piece of furniture. First we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled New York Underground, or How to Change at Canal Street Without Getting Lost. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
Yeah.
A poem. The boy stood on the Brooklyn Bridge. He knew he had an author. He took his shoes and stockings off, and his feet were in the water.
Fine.
Longfellow.
Longfellow. All right. Next, we have a woman who never drinks anything stronger than pop, but pop will drink anything. A woman who the day she was born, her father looked at her and says, "Is you is or is you ain't a baby?" But here she is, the Surrey with the fringe on top, Miss Lulu McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, you're lucky to be a man these days.
I am?
Oh, you know, it's almost impossible to get stockings.
Oh, yeah.
I shopped all over. I finally bought a bottle of that stocking makeup. That's no good at all.
No good? What's the matter with it?
Well, I tried for over an hour, but I just couldn't get my leg in the bottle.
You couldn't? Man, Miss McConnell, you couldn't get your leg in a barrel. Next, we have a man who is a constant reader of the Hobo News. That's the only way he can keep track of his family. A man with the face of a 10-year-old boy, but he's had it so long it's all wrinkled. Here he is, Mr. George Shelton.
So, you know, Mr. Hart, I'm getting to be quite a prophet.
Surprising. You're getting to be a prophet?
Am I? You know, before I went to bed last night, I said to myself, well, tomorrow's another day. And when I woke up this morning...
well?
Sure enough, it was.
It was.
Boy, that's producing
it,
huh?
Too bad you woke up. Well, that's our regular board of experts. Our special guest tonight, we have with us that noticed cartoonist, author, and after-dinner speaker, one of the stars of Can You Top This, Mr. Harry Hirschfield. Good evening, Mr. Hirschfield, and welcome to our quiz program.
Thank you, Tom. It's a privilege, really, to be on this program. That is up to now.
Up to now, I see.
But you know, when you say quiz program, you know how I feel on a quiz program?
Clancy.
Clancy wanted to get a job in the city, so he had to go through a civil service examination. So they asked him a lot of questions. He went through the questions the best he could. He just went, struggled through. Finally said, "Now, Clancy, here's the final and vital question. What does the Aurora Borealis mean?" He says, "It means I don't get the job."
That reminds me of a story.
Oh, reminds you of a story.
Once there were two Irishmen.
Yeah.
Now there are millions of them.
Oh, but...
that reminds me of a story.
Look, once please, cut it out. Now, Mr. Hirschfield, let me remind you. Don't let anything remind you of another story. You get these nitwits started. Now, this is a quiz program, and we're here to answer questions. Bear in mind, this is not a comedy program. It's a serious thing. Here is the first question. What do they serve as a main course at a chicken dinner?
I don't like chicken dinners. Yeah. I don't like it. The feathers always get stuck in my teeth.
Oh, I see. That's too bad.
I like chicken, you know, but I like the kind with sweaters on.
Sweaters.
Sweaters. My sister bought me a black sweater for my birthday not long ago.
Yeah.
I never saw a sweater stretch like that one did. First time I washed it, it stretched away down to my knees.
Mm-hmm. Black sweaters always do that, you know?
Second time it was washed, a lady came up to me on the street and says, "Pardon me, but I want to tell you how I enjoyed your sermon last Sunday at church."
George,
yeah?
That day reminds me of a story.
There he goes again.
And he saw a girl he liked. So he went to her home, and he says, "I like you, and I'm going to be engaged to you for a year. I want you to know I am very, very precise. When I say black, I don't mean white. When I say 1 year, I don't mean 51 weeks. I mean 52. And I'm going to call on you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I mean Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And when I call on you on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm going to call on you from 8 to 10. Not 7 to 9, 8 to 10. And when I call on you from 8 to 10 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we will employ the whole time in making love. As this is Sunday, good night.
Good night. That is very good, but I must remind you again, Mr. Hirschfeld, that we don't care to hear stories. We have questions here, and we try to answer them. So let's just dispense with the stories.
Well, what was the question, Mr. Howard?
Miss McConnell, have you got any brains?
Why, have you, Mr. Howard?
Have I?
That's a good question. Who sent that in?
All right. The question is, what do we serve as the main course of the chicken dinner? Now, look, the answer is obvious.
Obvious? I don't believe I've ever eaten any of that. What does it taste like?
Never mind. What do they serve as the main course of the chicken dinner?
Oh, you know, I used to be an after-dinner speaker. Yeah, would that help?
You were, yeah? What did you talk about?
Oh, about 10 minutes.
You know the best after-dinner speech I think I ever heard?
What was it?
When the fella says, put it all on one check.
That is very enlightening. That was a good speech.
My old man made an after-dinner speech last night at our house.
Yeah, what'd he say?
He said, whoever cooked this meal, it's lousy.
It's lousy.
Who did cook it?
Are there any other questions, Mr. Howard?
Okay, never mind.
You know, I do wish you wouldn't talk about food, Mr. Connell. I haven't been feeling so well lately. Everything I eat tastes like beans.
What have you been eating?
Beans.
Beans. Already.
You should go back in the stockyard soon.
That's what I like, Gilbert and Sullivan.
Sounds like Hart, Shatner, and Mark to me.
Must suit you, huh?
Spring song and it's starting to winter. Summer evening and a goodly crowd was there. But, well, that makes me feel like we're sighting now. Again, you think that orchestra would improve a little bit, wouldn't you?
Well, Mr. Howard, don't you know, old boy, music is good for the soul?
Oh, I love music.
It's good for the heel, too. Mr. Roberts, what have we in the way of contestants tonight?
Well, first night, Mr. Howard, we have Private Frankie Falcone of the United States Army.
Well. Good evening, Private Falcone. This is indeed a pleasure. How do you feel, sir?
Oh, I feel fine.
Well, that's great. Where is your hometown? Would you care to tell us?
I come from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn!
Brooklyn. Well, spin me around and call me Topsy.
Yeah.
You know, I used to work in that town. Yeah, I was a banker in a baker shop.
You were a banker in a baker shop?
Yeah, I used to handle the dough.
That's terrible. Mr. Sheldon, remind me to shave you some morning when I'm nervous.
Tom, that reminds me of the gag.
Ah, well, you'll never see.
A fella goes into a barber shop, one of those wolves, you know.
Wolves.
And he gets in and he calls for the manicurist. He's working on his nails. And finally says, listen, Toots, how about you and I stepping out tonight? She says, I can't. I'm married. He says, well, can't you ask your husband if you can step out tonight? She says, ask him yourself. He's shaving you.
Very humorous, but please, I wonder if we can say something on this program that won't remind Mr. Hirschfield of a gag. Here.
Well, that reminds me of a story.
All right, please, Mr. Hirschfield. Pay no attention to him, will you, Private? How long have you been in the service?
I've been in the Army 6 months now.
6 months. Well, more power to you, and congratulations, I'm sure.
You know, I was in the last war, yes. Yes, well, I'll never forget the time I went to Paris on a furlough. I met a Frenchman. Mm-hmm. He and I talked for over an hour, and the amazing thing is, I don't know a word of French. And yet I understood every word he said.
Oh, I don't believe that. How could that be?
Perfectly simple, old boy. The Frenchman spoke English.
Mr. McCartan, I hope all your teeth fall out but one, and that stays in for a toothache. Now, let's get in here.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Carry on.
Look, we have a guest standing here, so let's give him the respect he's entitled to. What did you do before you entered the service, Private?
I was an assistant sales manager.
Assistant sales manager?
That's right.
For a certain firm, what did you sell?
Well, we made telephones for ships.
Telephones for ships. I see. That's great. Telephones for ships.
Make a lot of nice connections that way.
All right. Never mind.
Mr. Howard.
Yes?
Are you going to sit up here with me like you did last week?
I'm not going to sit up there with you like I did last week, no.
Say, Mr. Howard, you know, when you were up here last week beside Miss McConnell, you reminded me of that radio program.
What radio program?
Double or Nothing.
Double or Nothing.
Oh, yeah? Well, with you sitting here beside me, we all look like a book I read once.
Yeah, what was the name of the book?
Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, how can you say that, Miss McConnell? I'm no beauty.
Oh, cut it out, please.
I don't know, Mr. Sheldon. I wouldn't say that. You know, I think you're pretty.
You do?
You're much prettier than Mr. Howard. Yeah.
Well, is that good?
Will you cut it out, please? I suppose you're on a furlough here in New York, or...
No, I'm stationed at the Long Island Post Office.
Oh, you're stationed at the Long Island Post Office. Well, that's fine. That brings you right near home.
That's right.
That is wonderful. We're mighty glad to have you with us tonight, Private, I must say.
Sure are. What's your first name, honey?
Frankie.
What?
Frankie.
Frankie.
Yeah. Just as fuzzy, too. Will you reach into the dunce cap there, Frankie, and pick out a question for us, please? And would you be kind enough to read the question? Just take your time and read it.
What college has a stadium called the Yale Bowl?
Very good. Please, no coaxing from the audience, please. You heard the question. What college has a stadium called the Yale Bowl?
Mr. Howard, what's the name of the college?
But I'm asking you that.
Oh, no, I asked you first.
Miss McNaughton, why don't you take your head out and have it recapped?
I tried to, but they told me the side walls were no good.
I see. The question was, and still is, what college has a stadium called the Yale Bowl? Would you know, Mr. Sheldon?
No, I wouldn't. But I know plenty about Yale locks, though.
I see.
I wouldn't know a thing about bowls.
Naturally, Mr. Sheldon, you can't pick a bowl. Oh. Let's get on here. Mr. McNaughton, would you know what college has a Yale Bowl?
Tell the truth, Mr. Howard. You see, I don't bowl much.
You don't bowl much. You don't bowl there. You play football there.
Oh, you're wrong. I don't play football any place.
I see. No.
I love football. I always go to football games.
So you like football games, Miss McConnell, huh?
No. I just go to see if the players will make a pass at me. Ain't I the one?
The one? You're the whole stadium.
The girls' football team.
Yeah.
I was fullback.
Yeah. You're pretty full in the front, too.
You know, Tom, that reminds
me... That reminds you of the gag. Yes.
You know, in this Army Notre Dame game, how hard tickets were to get?
Yeah.
Well, Max and Sam have never seen a football game, and they got in their car, rushing to the stadium, hoping they could still get tickets there. And as they were rushing at a terrific speed, a cop grabbed him and says, "Get over! What's the rush?" He says, "Well, my friend Max and I We want to rush to the stadium to see the football game before it's too late. We're hoping we can get in. Cop says, I think I'll give you a ticket. He says, thanks. Have you got one for my friend also?
Marvelous, mister.
You know, I'll never forget the last football game I played in.
Ah, please.
There I was, out on the 50-yard line.
Uh-huh. What were you doing out there?
Hanging up my socks.
Hanging up your socks.
You know, I tried to play football, but I wasn't a good enough contortionist.
Uh-huh. You have to be a contortionist to play football?
Well, you have to be able to run around your own end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fix that one.
Yeah?
You know, Miss McConnell would never make it.
No, I imagine not. That was very good, Mr. Sheldon.
Thank you, Miss.
Next time you get a chance, stop in and see your dentist and have your bridge work fixed. I'm also surprised at you, Mr. McNaughton, making a crack like that. An urban gentleman like you.
Urban, that's a hat, ain't it?
No, urban. You're thinking of turban, Mr. Sheldon.
Sure, turban.
Turban. Just one of a thing for cold. You just rub it on your chest.
Turban? What are you talking about?
Turban. Turpentine and goose
grease. Oh, cut it out, please. Turpentine and goose grease.
No.
Look, that's turban. That's a
turban. Will you pardon me, Mr. Alpha, butting in here, but turban is a drink.
A drink?
Sure, haven't you ever heard anybody say, give me a drink of turban?
Mr. Sheldon, that's bourbon.
Oh, no, Mr. Howard. No, a bourbon is a sort of a car, you know. They use them in the country. I think they call them station wagons.
Mr. McNaughton, that's a bourbon. A sort of a truck with low, slung, bulky body and a big seat.
Now we're back to Miss McConnell again.
Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, comes the only sour note in our program, Dr. Novick and his orchestra. The latest Gallup poll was voted that Nat Novick's orchestra was the most likely to get ahead. They all need one. Here he is, Dr. Novick and his ferry boat Philharmonic 5, playing under or over the waves, rather. Starts off beautiful, doesn't it? Another visitor, Mr. Roberts.
Yes, we have, Mr. Howard, and we have a very lovely and charming young lady this time, storekeeper third class, Vivian Elms of the Star.
Ah, how do you do, Miss Elms? How do you do, Miss Elms, and welcome to It Pays to Be Ignorant. We're mighty glad to have you with us.
It does pay, you know, it does pay to be ignorant. You know that, don't you?
I got a gag
on that.
Oh, you remind me of a story. I see.
To me, it's one of my favorite because it fits.
I see.
A fellow went on a boat. We'll call him Ginsburg. And he goes on this boat. And when he goes to the dining salon, sitting at the table ahead of him, at the same table, is a Frenchman. And as Ginsburg comes to the table, the Frenchman gets up and says, Bon appetit. and he says, Ginsburg. Every time he comes to the table, the Frenchman is there first. He always gets up and says, Bon appetit. He says, Ginsburg. So Ginsburg goes to one of the officers and says, what is this thing? Every time I come there, the Frenchman is sitting there. And every time I come there, he gets up and says, Bon appetit. And I say, Ginsburg. Why, he says he's paying you a high compliment. He means good appetite. Oh, he says, that's fine. The next meal, Ginsburg is in first. He's sitting at the table. The Frenchman comes in. Ginsburg jumps up and says, Bon appetit. And the Frenchman said, Ginsburg.
Mr. Hirschfeld, we have a guest standing here. As I said, Miss Ellums, we're very glad to have you. May I ask you where your hometown is?
Chicago.
Chicago. Good for Chicago. Been there many a time. Lovely place.
Oh, she certainly has.
She certainly has what?
A lovely face.
I said place.
Well, the place is all right, too.
Oh, please. Mr. Sheldon, why don't you rent yourself out to a decoy as a duck hunter?
Well, say, you know, that reminds me. There were two ducks once, and they used to run around with a couple of geese.
Yeah.
And these geese used to live under an old porch.
What kind of geese were they?
They were Portuguese.
They were Portuguese.
I don't get it.
All right. Pay no attention to Miss Ellums. Would you do us a favor at this point? Would you kindly help us out by reaching into the dunce cap there and picking out a question for us, if you will, please? And would you kindly read the question right into the microphone?
What do they use when they stuff feathered pillows?
Did you hear the question, gentlemen? No help from the audience. What do they use when they stuff feather pillows?
Well, that ought to be a soft question.
That ought to be a soft question.
Mr. Howard, did you say feather pillows?
Now, that's right.
Oh, I like that question. It tickles me.
It tickles me. Mr. Connell, do you know what they use when they stuff feather pillows?
Who wants to know?
I want to know.
What do you care what they're stuffed with as long as you're comfortable?
I see. Miss McConnell, if I was your husband, I'd give you poison.
You were my husband, I'd take it.
You take it. Question is about pillows. Let me give you a hint. They come from a bird.
What kind of a bird?
Oh, is there more than one kind?
Oh, rather, yes. Yes, there's the canary, you know. And the canary. Then there's the canary.
Don't forget the canary, Mr. McDonald.
That's right, the canary.
Yes, yes.
How many does that make, Mr. Hart?
You know, that reminds me of a gag about birds.
Please,
I'm not kidding.
Please.
There's a drunk, and the drunk sees a little skinny pigeon. He says, oh, the poor little skinny pigeon. He's starving, a poor little skinny pigeon. So he staggers into a restaurant, gets some bread, and he starts to throw it to the bird, and the pigeon is eating it, and he's throwing it. There's a poor little starving pigeon. He's eating it. Finally, he says, I like the bread. He said, I say, how do you like the bread? How do you like the bread? Oh, he says, a poor little thing, a deaf and dumb pigeon.
Thank you.
before we call the whole thing quits, I'd like to thank our good friend Harry Hirschfield for adding to the fun tonight. Thank you, Harry Hirschfield, and give the rest of your gang our regards. Our guest next week, ladies and gentlemen, will be Miss Constance Bennett.
Miss Constance Bennett. Connie. Oh, I gotta get my toupee, Marcel.
Yeah, I imagine, yeah.
I think I'll have my eyebrows plucked.
All right. It'll suit me if you both come with your shoes on.
As I was walking down the avenue, I met a funny fellow with a funny point of view. He didn't have a brain cell working in his head, but he was very happy, and this is what he said. It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant.
What do you think of that?
It pays to be ignorant just like me. It's best not to know too much. Be a dope, your IQ shouldn't show too much. Your brain shouldn't grow too much. Wait and see. I took my girl to dinner. We had a wonderful feast. They had to give my girl the check because I couldn't read. So you see, it pays to be ignorant. Have no brain, be insane, just be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
He didn't have a brain cell working in his head, but he was very happy, and this is what he said. It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be dense, to be ignorant.
What do you think of that?
It pays to be ignorant just like me. It's best not to know too much. Be a dope, your IQ shouldn't show too much. Your brain shouldn't grow too much. Wait and see. I took my girl to dinner. We had a wonderful feast. They had to give my girl the check because I couldn't read. So you see, it came.